So here we are in the middle of Christmas season. We just celebrated the birth of Jesus. Next week in the liturgical cycle, we're going to be reading about the Magi, so still baby Jesus. And after that, the Epiphany, so still baby Jesus. But today, in the liturgical cycle, for some reason, the Gospel of Luke gives us a glimpse of 12-year-old Jesus, saying to his worried and yet relieved parents, "Didn't you know I would be among my father's people?" This line specifically we've seen translated a number of different ways. Some of you who are familiar with this verse might be thinking in your head, "No, no, it's supposed to be, 'Didn't you know I would be in my father's house?'" Or, "No, no, it's supposed to be, 'Didn't you know I would be about my father's business?'" So we see all these versions of it. And when it gets translated, "my father's house," we might assume that Jesus is referring to the temple as a place where God resides. But that's not something he ever says or implies anywhere else in the Bible. And then if we read it as, "Didn't you know I would be about my father's business?" we might assume Jesus is saying that learning and teaching in the temple is the thing that he's meant to be doing. But he doesn't do much of that in his ministry. He goes to where people are. So you can understand why the sentence draws a great deal of interest over the centuries. Because what it really is in Greek is a Greek idiom, a phrase that made sense in Greek 2,000 years ago, but doesn't make as much sense when it's translated directly into another language, let alone another millennia. In fact, a direct translation of the Greek would be something like, "Didn't you know I would be among my, the father of?" Or maybe, "Didn't you know I would be among the people that my father is also the father of?" None of those really roll off the tongue. So if we're going to interpret it maybe into clearer English, while still staying as close as we can to the text, we might say, "Didn't you know I would be among my father's people? Among my family." That sounds to me a little bit more like something Jesus would say and will continue to say. So that week at the temple, when Jesus had his bar mitzvah, when he read from the Torah for the first time, when he got to talk with the adults and the teachers for the first time about their understanding of Scripture, he knew without a doubt that he had found his people, that those were his family. His people were the people who loved God, who loved the Scriptures, who believed wholeheartedly in their duty to care for one another, including him. The kid who was left behind, but not alone. So one of the key developmental tasks in adolescence that Zan alluded to is finding our people. Some kids are lucky enough to have parents and families of origin who also become their people. Parents and siblings who might follow them into adulthood and stay curious about who they are and who they're becoming, stay open about who they are. And Jesus is, in some ways, one of those people. We know that some of his family of origin didn't approve of the folks that he would choose to be around. Some of his family of origin didn't necessarily approve of his career choices. But we do know that his mom stuck by him every step of the way. She traveled among his followers. Some people count her among his disciples. Later, when he died, she was the last person to leave his side, and she was the first person to return to his grave and among the first people to see him reappear there. Nevertheless, this moment in the temple is a clear defining moment in 12-year-old Jesus's adolescence. Moment that he not only realizes who his people are, but sort of comes out to his parents, announcing that he knows, in some way, as best he can, who he's meant to be, and who his family and community are going to be, and inviting his parents to get to know him in that way, and to join his community and his family with him. Again, this resonates for me with a lot of the themes that come up in the rest of Jesus' ministry. He's often drawing distinctions between the family systems we're born into and then the families where we find belonging as young adults or older adults. Like in Mark 3 and Matthew 12, both, Jesus points out to the crowds and he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." He calls us not to get trapped by senses of duty or obligation to families of origin who might not be our people, who might not love our God in the way we do, who might not love our neighbors in the way we do. And he invites us not to limit who we might consider family. Rather, he calls us to appreciate that we have family too among all of the people with whom we share joy and meaning-making and values about how we ought to treat each other. I appreciate that. Yeah, you're giving me good feedback back here. Zan's doing great feedback, you guys. Anybody else who wants to do feedback? I wondered, as I was reading this, what it would be like if we were that congregation at the temple in Jerusalem, but here in Ann Arbor, right? If we were that congregation who gathered for a big holiday service, the pews full of folks who maybe can only come a couple times a year. I wonder what it would be like if we noticed a tween left behind. What would folks think? And what would folks do? So I invite you to imagine that with me. I want you to think back to your 12-year-old self. Maybe give 12-year-old self a little hug. Imagine that you are 12 years old. Imagine your family comes to church consistently, you know, once or twice a year for big holidays. You live kind of far away. Maybe Chelsea, Pinckney, like way out in East Ipsy. But your parents grew up coming here for the holidays. And so when the holidays come around, pack up and go. So this Christmas Eve, you're 12, you're charging out on your own. So you sit with the kids that are your age. There's some of them that you recognize from other holidays, and actually there's one of them that goes to your school. And the church is starting to empty out after service, and you don't see your parents around, but that's okay. You stick with your friends, and eventually your group walks downstairs, gets a snack, and then walks out to the foyer. A couple kids are wrestling in the corner. Still no parents, though. Did they leave without you? You know, if they did, they're 100% coming back for you. Because knowing your parents, they are literally obsessed with you. They would go to the ends of the earth for you. So just hang tight. They'll be back. In the meantime, you get to hang out with some pretty nice people. Maybe if you got stuck here for a while, you could hang out with Kat. Like, maybe you could hang out with Pastor Rick and listen in on the Bible study he does with all the older adults. Like, I wonder what happens there. Or maybe you could stay after church on Sunday and hear what all the adults talk about. So just as you're starting to feel okay with your plan to hang tight, an adult comes over to you, taps on your shoulder and says, "Oh, are your parents around? Where are they?" Kind of startles you. And quietly, kind of sheepishly, in the way a 12-year-old would when they've been startled by an adult, you say, "Oh, I don't know. It's okay, though. I'm okay." You cringe. You turn back to your friends. You hunch over a little, hoping to be a little less noticeable, hoping to blend in a little better. You know in your mind that the person who just came up to you asking about your parents meant well, and actually, in a way, you appreciate it because it's really nice to know that so many people care about you. But also, you're feeling a little more aware of how different you are. And then, suddenly, your friend's parents, maybe Zan, maybe Kevin, your friend's parents chime in with just an indisputable, decisive, and warm response. "Hey, you're hanging with us? Great. Did you eat? Come home with us anyway. There's room in the car." I wonder how that would feel to hear. Sitting here now, listening to this story, I know, and I know you know, that we love being together. We love finding new people among each other. We love taking good care of each other. I wonder, too, if our habits, our first reactions, our ways of doing things ever get in the way of us communicating accurately to each other how we feel and how we want each other to feel. So I'm still sort of new here. We joined in 2019. Some folks still ask me from time to time where home is for me, or where I come from, where I grew up, who my parents are. All normal ways, kind of habitual ways we get to know each other, right? Recently, I was getting to know another person in the congregation, and I just sort of habitually started asking those same questions. Where'd you come from? Where are your kids? What about your spouse? The questions came out of genuine curiosity about their story, but also came out of that habitual way of expressing curiosity without giving it too much thought. And as we were talking, I felt the questions creating a distance in a way I didn't intend. I didn't feel like they were questions that were helping me get to know the person better. And then, as we got back to talking about church, the person said to me, "This is my home. This is my family." And I thought back to when I had first started visiting this church, and when I had first met this person, and the way that they would greet me and connect with me each week. And I remembered that the first several times I came to church, they came up to me, gave me a tender pat, and said, "Welcome home. We're so glad you're here." Does anybody remember the Time as Children message from last week when Zan and the children walked through the aisles, meditating on the words, "I have arrived. I am home." At home, no one has to ask you where your parents are, where you're from, who your people are, because they know it's here. You are knit together by the very same God as me. You were called to be who you are by the same God as me. We are family, not by blood or by law. We're each other's people. We're a family of faith. We're a family of choice. We are a family connected by shared belief in the God who is unconditional loving kindness. So let's be home. It's so good that you're here.